There are lots of lousy businesses, and there's lots of wonderful businesses.
It's the art and science of money.
My job has been to try and figure out which is which.
It's Hi-Fi Radio from the Global News Radio Studios in Toronto with Hi-Fi Portfolio Managers. Here's Wolfgang Klein and Jack Hartle.
Well, good evening, my friends. Thank you for spending some time with us. I've been looking forward to this hour all week long. Indeed, it's a show about money. So much going on. To sum it all up, assets are going up in price. All assets are rising for the most part, real estate included. Drew Donaldson is going to spend some time with us this evening. He is the owner, the proprietor of Donaldson Capital. He's a mortgage broker. I personally used his services when purchasing my present home to help shop the market for me. Did a great job and came in with a very, very competitive price. Certainly better than my existing bank, that's for sure. They didn't want to play ball. But Drew knows how to play ball. Drew, thank you for spending some time with us. Let's get right to it. What have you noticed recently that's important to us in the mortgage market?
Yeah, I mean, there's a ton of talk about just rates increasing and inflation out there. So I'd say that's pretty much every phone call we have with a client. That's their main concern is the inflation numbers. Mm-hmm. But rates are still historically low. So as much as the 5-year fix has gone up a little bit, you know, these variable rates are just it's still at rock bottom levels. And, you know, there will be some rises as we go, but it could be slow and steady, not exactly the fear-based, you know, 4 or 5 rate hikes right away.
You know, it's remarkable. A friend of mine just assisted both of his children, who are in their mid-20s, to purchase their first homes, condominiums and townhomes. And purchase price was just under $1 million. He gifted with some paperwork signed to protect his assets as best he could in case there's a relationship breakdown. But he basically gifted each of his children just under $250,000, which means those 20-somethings are going to be carrying a $600,000-$700,000 mortgage plus taxes and insurance and maintenance and cans of paint. That's a big nut, I have to say, for 20-something to strap on. You know, let's talk about that number, Drew. $700,000, what does that carry for at a 5-year fixed rate? What's the obligation? It's just amazing how quickly technology allows us to compute, isn't it, ladies and gentlemen? Live, right in front of you.
Well, I'm going to throw a guess out there. I'm going to say it's $3,500.
I'm going to say it's just under $4,000.
And I'm going to say I'm probably high. I think I'm high because a lot of that, as you know, Wolf, in this low interest rate environment, I'm going to say, well, north of 50% of it for sure is going towards principal, probably north of 70% even.
So it's around $2,400 on the variable.
$2,400 a month on a variable to carry. How much did we say? Did you run 700?
$700,000.
$700,000. Hold on. $700,000 carries for $2,400 a month. That's an interesting number. Rents in Toronto are about that. You can sort of see how the math actually lines up. That is a variable rate mortgage. That's at historically low interest rates. What is the current variable? What are you able to secure that deal at right now, Drew?
Yeah, anywhere from 1.25 to 1.35 is the variable. 2 weeks ago, I got a client 1.1% variable on a $3.5 million mortgage. So there is some wiggle room there.
Unbelievable, isn't it? Jack, do those numbers not just astound you? And again, GIC rates, Jack, you were just finding us some one-year fixed GIC rates at 1.65%. Inflation, yeah, we all know, is running 4% plus. Losing proposition on the lending side, on the borrowing side, boy, oh boy, is that ever attractive money. 1.25%, 1.1%. Wow. Drew, sorry, Drew, I want to ask you one other question. I'll give you the mic there, Jack, in 1 second. Drew, can you tell us, and maybe while you run the numbers, we'll bounce over to Jack, but the very first mortgage payment then made on a $700,000 mortgage or $2,400, how much of that $2,400 is going to principal? In other words, I call that forced savings. Drew, can you tell us that?
Yeah, about, I just ran the numbers actually. It's about 1,400 toward principal and about 1,000 toward interest. So majority that, principal.
So friends, again, 20-somethings out there or parents out there who want to help your children, that big fat mortgage of $700,000 through Drew can carry for $2,400 a month. And the very first monthly mortgage payment, $1,400 of the $2,400 is going to principal. So you could argue, in fact, that your rent is now only costing you $1,000 a month, your pure rent, which is your carrying cost of interest. Correct, gentlemen?
Yeah, that was exactly the point that I was going to make, is that you're buying a high quality asset. You're having forced savings of $1,400 a month, which is substantial, I believe, especially when you compound it over time. And if you're buying in the Toronto real estate market, you can say prices are elevated, but they're elevated for a reason. They're elevated because people want to be in this area. They want to obviously want to be in the 905 as well, but you're buying a high quality asset. You're getting rock bottom financing. You're not going out and putting stuff on a credit card at 20%. So you're using good leverage as far as I'm concerned and buying a high quality asset, which does over time compound wealth.
It has historically. The issue, of course, you speak about high quality assets, Jack. If you go looking for real estate with $1 million, you'd question, I think, your comment about high quality asset in Toronto. Every one of our developing clients, because we have a number of developers as clients, they tell us there is a supply constraint issue. Demand is going up and supply isn't keeping pace with it, which is pushing this asset class higher nonetheless. Drew, tell us what I've noticed in the real estate market is a limited supply of properties on the market. From your lens, what are you seeing from a demand perspective? In other words, how's business similar to last year, stronger than last year? Is there an urgency for people to get into the market? What's the mood?
Yeah, I mean, ever since the pandemic, when rates dropped, I mean, business has been booming. So that's been great. But a lot of people are also making life choices, whether it's moving houses, bigger, renovating, needing a pool put in the backyard, maybe even moving out of the city for a couple of years. We've seen some move back into the city. So
have you?
I guess that what the pandemic has brought is just people, moving and making big life decisions.
Yeah. So you actually noticed some people already come back to the city.
I have. We've seen some people that moved to Collingwood and even Picton. And I don't know if they got bored, but they decided they want to move back to the city or at least have a footprint in the city. Maybe they went all out. I had one client that, sold a big house, kind of Etobicoke area, went all out in Collingwood and then realized he needed a condo in the city. Like he still wanted to have the footprint, be able to come in, do some business as things opened up.
Yeah, it's interesting because, making these life-changing decisions at a time where you have exogenous, what's the word?
Exogenous events.
Yeah. Yeah, drive those decisions can put you into an awkward position when things normalize. And my brother-in-law, as a matter of fact, didn't just move out of the city. He moved to Cold Lake, Alberta. As the name implies, Cold Lake, Alberta. I watch the weather report my weather app every now and then to see what the temperatures in Cold Lake. Like minus 25 is the high for today. It feels like minus 35. Good golly.
Did he join the Air Force, Wolf?
Join the Air Force. No.
But I was going to say, you make a good point there, Wolf, and Drew as well. The fact that, people are making decisions based on, I'm going to say, a bit of an abnormal market because of COVID. Not just the real estate market, and you're seeing it in the stock market as well. Some people are, putting some stocks in there, a lot of equity and a lot of, transfer payments that they receive from the government into stay-at-home stocks. They bid them up exceptionally high. Those meme stocks exploded earlier in the year, and they've come back to a normalized level. I think that's what you're going to see next year in 2022. I would not be surprised to see, companies that have earnings growth, those higher quality companies. If you don't get multiple expansion, people aren't going to pay more for a dollar of earnings, then you actually need to have fundamental earnings growth. Still, the high-tech companies, the good ones, are going to do exceptionally well over time, but I think you will see a more normalized market as the economy returns to normal.
Well, let's take it back to Drew. The real estate market, the mortgage market, it does not seem terribly normal, obviously, right here, right now. Do you agree with Jack? Do you see more of a... stable market next year? Or what's your prediction for 2022 with both mortgage rates, demand, and the real estate market, Drew?
Yeah, I mean, I think I said this last time I was on the show, but, you know, the suburbs are acting completely irrationally. I'm a little fearful that as things, you know, open up, get back to normal, you might see, I'm not predicting a crash, but you might see prices level off for 5-10 years, something we haven't seen in a long time. Toronto, to me, is just, you know, it's a global city. If I were going to put my money anywhere, if you've got a 5-10 year outlook, even at today's values, I still think they're good buys. I think you buy a piece of land in Toronto, you sit there for 10, 15 years, and you're going to wake up a very happy, happy camper.
Yeah, no, I would agree. If you can, and that is, I think, the smarter way to build wealth across multiple asset classes. It was ironic. I was speaking with Javid at our Christmas party, Jack, and we spoke about this last week, and he was betting against the Chinese market, but he had a 3-day time horizon, 4-day time. He thought in a very, very short term, it was going to continue to fall. He put a short trade on, and I just spoke with him. I think it was just a personal trade and just having some fun with him. But he covered his short. He made some money. I don't know how much money he made, but he made a little bit of money. I think the China trade, 3 years out, 5 years out, you're going to be very well rewarded. I do think that when you buy businesses, be it a Microsoft or a Facebook, Google, if you think 3 to 5 years time horizon, you're going to be fine. Real estate at these levels, I'd have to agree, you probably want to stretch your time horizon a little further. I don't think you're going to make money in a 6-month flip. Those days are long gone. But for investors, a 10-year time horizon plus with a piece of real estate in Toronto, I think you'll be okay. And again, the math is such, once again, that if you make a mortgage payment of $2,400 a month, $1,400 of that is going to principal reduction. It's forced savings. You're building wealth with your very first mortgage payment. So it is a cornerstone component of, I think, a good, solid wealth plan. We're going to take a quick break and get back with Drew Donaldson, Donaldson Capital. He's a mortgage broker. We're talking about mortgage rates and the housing market. Stay tuned.
Money. Let's take a break. But after, Wolf and Jack will continue their in-depth discussion about money. You're listening to Hi-Fi Radio from Global News Radio 640 Toronto.
Welcome back, my friends. Yes, lots of movement going on. Thanks to COVID, thanks to demographics, thanks to this great city of ours becoming an international city of desire. And with that comes pain, certainly for children looking to buy real estate and our young adults trying to enter the market. It certainly is challenging, but please have faith. There is a solution. Just got to think through it. And keep listening to Jack and I, and we'll help navigate the market for you. The good news is money is cheap. U.S. Central Bank out with a policy decision this week. No real change to interest rates. They're going to work the bond market. That will take some supply of liquidity out of the market. But interest rates, for now, remain very, very accommodative. And the forecast is they'll remain accommodative for some time. Although, don't be surprised to see rates back up a little bit next year, which will certainly affect the variable rate mortgages. Wouldn't you agree, Drew?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, variable is going to rise slowly over time. The Bank of Canada was pretty clear about that on their last update. Anywhere between April and September, we're forecasting a 0.25% increase to prime, and then maybe even another 0.25% before the end of the year. And that's from listening to the Bank of Canada. Some of the other, you know, outlets out there are predicting even faster than that. But everything I've read, heard, and I literally, when Tiff Macklem speaks, I listen to it like 4 or 5 times just to make sure we're getting it directly from his mouth. And those are my predictions. We can wake up 12 months from now and we'll see if I'm right. But I'm thinking 50 basis point higher prime between now and December 2022.
I do have to ask you again. I continue to think about first-time buyers. I continue to think about baby boomers' childrens and Generation X's children now, believe it or not, entering the real estate market. What percentage of your clients are millennials or those under, say, 35 years of age?
Yeah, so I mean, it's most of our clients, I'd say about 70% are between the ages of 35 and 50. That's the majority. We do have some first time home buyers, but we kind of gear ourselves toward the high net worth individuals. Ironically, I find, you know, some of the 32-year-olds, 34-year-olds, that we're working with, you know, they're willing to take out, you know, they're high income earners, but they're also willing to take out very large mortgages. I had a 36-year-old, last week. I had another 37-year-old 2 weeks ago. We're talking $6 million purchases. They put 35% down and willing to do a $3 or $4 million reno in Toronto. And, you know, these are big mortgages. Obviously, you know, it's good for our business, but I'm big on educating the client about, you know, risk mitigation. But they're willing to take out the big mortgages at today's interest rates. And they believe their income's going to rise, their investments are going to go up, and they just seem fearless.
What kind of income does one require to be able to support a, what did you say, a $6 million mortgage?
$6 million purchase. So about a $4 million mortgage.
A $4 million mortgage, yeah. So what kind of a income do you need to support that? And in terms of the reno, you mentioned a $6 million reno. Where's that money? Where would that money come from?
Yeah, so a lot of the times they don't actually qualify. They're typically business owners who have, you know, good revenue, but not a lot on their personal taxes. So what we do is we qualify them under what's called a high net worth program, where as long as you have, let's say, 750,000 or maybe $1 million in stocks and bonds, they'll kind of look past the ratios to get the person qualified.
Wow, that's incredible. Well, again, the basic math on a $4 million mortgage based on the $700,000 example, that looks about five times as big. So you're looking at around $13,000, $14,000 a month, I guess, to carry a $4 million mortgage, which means income of, what, $200,000 just to pay the mortgage gross, give or take. It's incredible math. It's just unbelievable. The numbers keep adding zeros, right? Trillions. We're all becoming immune to the number trillion. Anything trillion, oh, sure, another trillion here, another trillion there. Hey, Jack, it's just incredible. But let's talk about the other point I want to talk then about is recreational real estate, from ski chalets to Muskoka cottages. Price movement in that category and the amount of demand that you're noticing in that category, Drew?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the Collingwood, Muskoka areas, the builders that I speak with, custom home builders, they're all busier than they've ever been. Some of them are even denying work now. They're passing it off to other builders because they just can't take it on. And we're seeing that. We're seeing clients go out and, you know, spend $2 million on a Collingwood ski chalet. Or I had a client 3 weeks ago. She's got a $25 million. I mean, some of these, they sound far-fetched, but I mean, maybe it's just the clients that we work with, but $25 million cottage on Lake Joe, $25 million house on the Bridal Path, and, you know, willing to take out $17, $18 million in mortgages on both. And again, not afraid of it.
Yeah, there is so much wealth, perhaps in few hands, but boy, there is wealth in Canada. Truly, truly is. I know Drake has a mansion out in the Bridal Path. Anyone in the building trade likes, oh, I did some work on Drake's house. It's pretty funny. It's brilliant. And all the tradespeople, Jack has a little experience now with that. Drew, you're seeing as well, obviously. But all the tradespeople are completely jammed getting material. And I don't care if it's grout, if it's MDF board. Material is still at a premium and in limited supply. When you speak to builders, what type of problems are they facing right now in terms of supply disruption, Drew?
Yeah, I mean, I think lumber and some of their supply issues are definitely at the forefront. But, you know, with a lot of these custom home builds, they can kind of change the price on you as you go along. You know, 9 out of 10 clients that call me, they're either doing a renovation or a build. You know, I usually listen for the first 5 to 10 minutes on, you know, how it's gone over overcost. So you kind of have to listen. You say, yeah, you know what, that's typical. That happens from time to time. Doesn't matter which builder it is. So the good news with these custom home builders, they can almost blame it on the supply issue and then maybe take a little bit longer if they need to, and also increase the price so that they're not losing money.
Yeah, I'm certainly witnessing a bit of high-pressure selling from tradespeople. And I think they're being honest with me. So, but they say, Wolf, it'll be 20% higher next year. Don't delay. Every single category. I mentioned I'm buying some tiles, and they say, oh, those tiles are coming from Europe. A container to be shipped from Europe months ago was $4,000. Now to ship a container from Europe is $13,000. And of course, they pass that on to the consumer, and they have no problem doing so. Drew Donaldson, always a pleasure to get to up to speed on the real estate market, and specifically the mortgage market. Donaldson Capital is where Drew's at. If you're shopping for a mortgage, I do advise you work with a qualified mortgage broker so they can shop the market for you. Go to your own bank as well, and watch them not play ball. But you never know, you might surprise me, surprise yourself as well. Do your homework. If you can save yourself, you know, a quarter of a percent or a tenth of a percent on, you know, $700,000, it adds up. Indeed, it does. Quick break. Get right back to the show about money. Hi-Fi Radio, each and every Saturday night on Global News Radio 640 Toronto.
Don't go anywhere. There's more great show after this. You're listening to Hi-Fi Radio from Global News Radio 640 Toronto.
There you go, my friends. My next guest, Rob Young, says he's a bit ornery. He's a little bit getting early into the eggnog, perhaps. Not our Rob Young, one of our managing directors. No, clean as a whistle, squeaky clean he is. He's a tech analyst, a great tech analyst. I love Rob Young. You know, my friends, I was taught many decades ago by a wise mentor of mine. He said, Wolfie, people in motion come in contact with people in motion, and people at rest remain at rest. And, you know, COVID has certainly kept us at bay. I'm not saying at rest per se, but certainly not out in motion as much as I like to be, do the locomotion. But fortunately enough, last week when I went down to Bay Street to see a few fellas and get caught up in the office, I bumped into Rob Young in our lobby. It's always a pleasure of mine when I see him. I run over to him and say, Rob, what's new? And he just talks and talks and talks, and my jaw drops. But he threw a word out to me that jogged my memory briefly. The word was metaverse. He said, Wolfie, this new concept of the metaverse is just unbelievable. And I said, talk to me about the metaverse. In fact, don't. Let's bring you on the radio, and I want you to talk to our audience about the metaverse, why it matters, what it is, and how we can play the metaverse if it's something that we can invest in. Rob Young, Managing Director, Internet IT, please, over to you.
Well, yeah, the context, I think, if I remember, as I was talking about potentially hopping on an airplane and going down to Las Vegas for the consumer, the CES show. My thought was that it was going to be metaverse, because, you know, there's typically some themes that, you know, coalesce around that show, and it seems like heading into it, metaverse is the big one. Everyone's talking about that ever since Facebook changed their name to Meta and are trying to, you know, build a business around what they're calling, well, I don't know if they're calling it, but the embodied internet, the next version of the internet, Web 3.0, where you're going to be able to interact with the internet as a human being rather than through a 2D screen. You're going to immerse yourself into a virtual environment, and you're going to do your shopping virtually, and you're going to do your interactions virtually. And instead of going into the office, you're going to go into a virtual office and do it there. So that's the future that Meta is showing us now.
You mentioned the word to me, and I think within 12 hours, a subscription service I subscribe to called Bespoke Investment Group, very high-level stuff, it's fantastic and very current, they indicated that they actually have created a metaverse index to help track the movement of stocks in that space. And I was very pleased to look at their Venn diagram that they put out for different silos that you can play if you want access to the metaverse. So, for example, from a content point of view, they think companies like Take-Two Interactive or Activision will be a player in the space. Facebook, obviously, changing their name indicates to the world that they want to participate. But virtualization software, companies like Microsoft, Autodesk, are all there. In terms of security and identification, companies like Okta, VMware are there. The e-commerce component, you have Coinbase Global stock that Jack and I own. There's an advertising component, Trade Desk, Google, of course. Hardware component, those chip manufacturers. So I think my point I want to make to you, Rob, and I told Jack this gleamingly, is that Jack and I do have exposure to the metaverse without even knowing that we had exposure to the metaverse, because we own Google, we own Facebook, we own a lot of semiconductor stocks. So that's good news, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's typical. I mean, one of the things in the tech sector that always happens is we always make a mistake on the timing of an opportunity. And so something like around the metaverse is likely going to be a multi-year cycle, maybe fulsome over a decade. We always assume things are going to happen faster than they will in reality. And we always underestimate the actual size when it gets there. And so at the front end of these type of investment themes, whether it's metaverse or esports or whatever it is, people scramble to find companies that are tied to it. Some of them make sense, some of them don't. The ones that to me make a lot of sense would be anything related to the semiconductor space, because you're going to require a lot of compute. Anything related to graphics, which is you're going to have to create these virtual environments. So on the semiconductor side, NVIDIA is one, AMD, Intel. The people that make the semiconductors, so TSMC, then even some of the
Applied Material.
Applied Materials, and then even some of the companies that help Applied Materials make their stuff, like the EMS vendors like Celestica, Toronto-based Celestica. And, then you've also got the software companies that are going to build around it. So Facebook, another big one would be Unity. Anything connected to video games likely, because video games are likely to create the content that goes in there. And then there's a lot of other companies that are tied into it. Maybe there's one step away. I mean, one I should have mentioned there would be Roblox, which is another one that's very, tightly tied into, metaverse. But then it gets harder and harder for me to understand them beyond that. Like, there's all the big bellwether tech firms will likely be tied to it, like Microsoft and IBM and Google and whatnot. And they will likely participate, but it feels to me that they're, metaverse is going to be such a small piece of their business that you're not really investing in metaverse. You're investing in the broader company. But it's an interesting theme to think about over, playing out as a driver.
The part of the theme that's difficult to get my head around, and we just had a mortgage broker on the show, but it seems that a big play around the metaverse, and I want you to talk about this, Drew, and I'm going to throw it over to Jack, Rob, is real estate plays. Please talk to us about a virtual real estate play, and are you have to take a mortgage out to get that piece of asset?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there is one company in Canada called tokens.com, and they're assembling some of this virtual real estate, and they're not the only one. There's others who are doing this, but the idea is that you are going to go shopping in a virtual environment, and you're going to go shopping, on a high street or in a shopping area. And so people that are looking forward at that, they're starting to buy the virtual real estate in places where they think we will assemble, right? So the idea being that you're not going to walk into Best Buy, you're just going to go onto the internet, and you're going to go to the virtual Best Buy, and you're going to buy your laptop, and that virtual Best Buy is going to be in the big box store place in the virtual world. And so people are buying up the virtual real estate that's tied to those. We've seen, some pretty impressive retailers.
May interrupt you, Rob. I just want to make sure I understand the concept. So you use the example Best Buy, big box retailer, brick and mortar. So in the metaverse, would the owner, the owner is the universe, I'm assuming, so would Best Buy purchase an anchor within the metaverse? That would be then their position within the environment?
Yeah, I mean, well, there's a lot of uncertainty around this because we don't know what virtual environment is going to win. You go back even a decade ago, it was like Second Life. There's been a bunch of these virtual environments. There's, you know, Minecraft, there's others. And so it's hard to tell which virtual environment will be a successful one. And so it's a very speculative type of, you know, investment today, trying to figure out where this is going to go.
No question. Let's throw it over to Jack.
Yeah, just the fact that we're talking about, we have exposure to this for our clients, and it was sort of by default, Wolf. That really speaks to, I think, the leadership that we pick with the companies that we own. You talk about NVIDIA, Google, Facebook. We've owned Adobe in the past. The chip companies, all the names that we own are the high-quality leaders in their space. And, you know, Rob talks about the fact that it's very difficult to pick the winners. I think when you partner with leading companies in technology, let them figure out who's going to be the winners. And they're going to be acquiring some of the smaller companies as well. So own high quality companies. And that's what we try to do, especially, you know, in the various sectors that we select for our clients.
Quality at all costs, my friends. Look, let's take a quick break, pay some bills around here and get right back to the show about money. Hi-Fi Radio. If you have any questions for Jack or I, you can visit us at wolfgangkline.com, the wolf on baystreet.com. Send us a note. Always a delight to speak with our listeners and friends. More show right after this.
Listen, we're going to take a break, but when we come back, more money talk. You're listening to Hi-Fi Radio from Global News Radio 640 Toronto.
They said there'll be snow at Christmas. They said there'll be peace on earth. But instead it just kept on raining. A veil of tears for the virgin birth. I remember one Christmas morning, a winter's light and a distant choir, the peal of a bell and that Christmas tree smell, and eyes full of tinsel and fire.
That's a lovely song. It's a lovely time of the year, my friends. Merry Christmas to all of you. May the spirit and joy be with each and every one of you, of all faiths, my friends, of all faiths. We are all brothers and sisters indeed. Jack and I, of course, try real hard each and every week to help you build wealth. Part of building wealth requires paying attention to new trends. And it's very exciting to be a partner at Canaccord, because Canaccord is a mid-market brokerage firm in the capital markets world. And in participating in the mid-market world, you get involved in a lot of innovative stuff that percolates its way both up and down the food chain. And Rob Young, of course, is an analyst. He was formerly a strategist working for companies like IBM and Nortel. Nortel. That's right, Nortel Networks. But he was not an accountant. We don't have to blame him for the books. No, that was not Rob. He was working the tech side and, you know, lighting up the world. I remember all that fiber that was being planted underneath the cities in North America. Unlit fiber was the speak. What's all this fiber doing in the ground? None of it's lit, they were saying. Oh, one day we will use it. Fast forward, did we put enough fiber in the ground in the 90s, Rob, or do we still need more of it? Honestly.
I'm not too sure how much dark fiber there is out there, but it wouldn't surprise me if we've used it all up. It's certainly, we've seen year after year of bandwidth growth. I'm sure the pandemic probably put a spike in it.
You know, it's remarkable how I live off my cellular device and how powerful the device is. It is very, very empowering, without question. So technology is brilliant, and it's exciting, and well, it can be very, very profitable. Rob, within your space, some investable ideas, again, for investors thinking longer term, 3, 5, 10 years out. Speak to some of your favorite ideas.
Well, I guess some of the ideas would be anything around supply chain. All of the volatility that we're seeing today in supply chain, some of those problems are going to be solved by software. And so within that, there's some Canadian companies. You could highlight companies like Descartes. You look at Kinaxis. You look at there's some other smaller ones. But, you know, software is going to orchestrate some of the solution to the problems we're seeing today. And, you know, these supply chain problems, a lot of companies are saying that they're going to extend right through 2022. You know, we're seeing a lot of issues around semiconductors, which is the one that probably is hitting the news the most as it relates to auto, and the ability to, you know, get those semiconductors in to complete your product and get it onto a boat, get it to the end customer is problematic. Another area that's exciting right now is around collaboration and the orchestration of work, e-learning. So all of these workflows that you see in the enterprise are, you know, they're moving into the cloud, they're moving online, and in a way that, you know, we wouldn't have expected 2 or 3 years ago. Everything's been pulled forward, you know, and then in the e-learning space, you know, you can highlight names like Docebo, company called D2L went public not too long ago. Then, of course, you've also got e-commerce. A lot of different data out there around e-commerce, but Adobe had a report that said the U.S. was down 1%. Shopify said that Black Friday, Cyber Monday was up, I think, 23%, if memory serves. And so, you know, there's still, you know, a lot of potential for e-commerce to continue to take more and more of our spending dollar. And so the companies that are tied to that, you know, likely to do very well. You know, there's Shopify, there's Pivotree, small.
What about Lightspeed? Let's talk about Lightspeed, if we may. Jack, that's a name that Jack brought to my attention. What does Lightspeed do? And it's been having a bit of an interesting performance recently. Talk to the market action on the stock and what your opinion is of it longer term, if you can.
It's POS, so point of sale, and they've recently done some acquisitions that expand their universe into e-commerce. About a company called Equid. And so they're becoming more of a competitive, you know, to companies like Shopify and BigCommerce. But, you know, Lightspeed is seen as highly exposed to restaurant, bar, and, you know, with Omicron starting to sort of rear its head and, you know, causing some problems, that might be weighing a little bit on the stock there. I don't have an official opinion because we don't cover it at Canaccord, but the... you know, there was also a short report that came out from a negative-minded investor within the last couple of months that created some volatility in the stock. And then you have this Omicron, and there's a little bit of rotation here at the end of the year out of tech. We've seen some of the high valuation names come down a bit, and so all of that, you know, pushing, you know, pressuring lights.
You mentioned about some of the valuations coming down on these high growth companies in your universe. Are they getting to the point now where people are selling, sort of, I guess, throwing the baby out with the bathwater, and you might want to start picking away at some tax loss buying opportunities?
Well, tax loss is a hard one to, everyone always seems to, you know, blame tax loss selling. But the, you know, my view of it is that, you know, enterprise software is still very, very successful. We're going to see good earnings. These are businesses that have strong growth, strong margin profile, you know, strong balance sheets by and large. And so I would expect that these are going to continue to be strong companies. But the, you know, enterprise software and software in general, valuations have, you know, benefited through the pandemic, and they've gotten higher and higher. They're, you know, quite a bit ahead of where the, you know, the long-term average is. And so at some point there's a reversion to the mean. Just, we don't, you don't know the timing on how that will play out. I mean, a stock can stay artificially expensive for longer than anyone might expect. And so it's very difficult to time these things. I mean, as we look into 2022, there are a lot of people that are saying that, you know, tech will not benefit from the increase in interest rates that everyone is expecting with, you know, inflation and all the other things. And the mechanic behind that, just, you know, in layman's terms, is that if you have a company that's not profitable and the cash flow isn't expected to come for several years, you know, if interest rates are higher, then that cash flow several years from today is worth less today. And so that provides an incentive for large money managers to rotate some of their funds into other businesses that are less negatively exposed to interest rates. And so there's a little bit of pressure there in high valuation, and high valuation seems to has been driven by, you know, high growth and not necessarily profitable companies. And so those companies that are, you know, higher growth, not as profitable, high valuation, taking a little more of impact from that flow. I think it's still going to be a strong sector in 2022 and a degree of organic growth. And right now, all of the issues that we're seeing in the supply chain, be it, you know, companies that are trying to figure out how to get something from China to the United States, or if it's a logistics company that's, you know, seeing a very strong pricing environment, to the UK, which has just popped up in the world as a new company, new country, you know, outside of the European Union. There's a lot of drivers around the complexity of the supply chain, and you know, Descartes is one of the companies that benefits from that, and so is seeing a much higher level of organic growth. And so, you know, that growth, plus it's a mature business with high margins, you know, it becomes a very durable company. And you know, sometimes when we look at, you know, the technology space, companies that aren't profitable but have a very high level of growth are attractive for future cash flows. But a company like Descartes, that's very profitable today and generating very high levels of cash flow today, you know, they're one that's maybe a little more insulated around, you know, some of that concern I was highlighted on, in, you know, in the increase in interest rates and what that does to, you know, tech valuations. And so it's a high quality company with a high quality product that just happens to be in exactly the right space around all of this mess we see in the supply chain today.
Yeah, indeed. Well, again, Descartes is a logistics company. It helps companies move stuff, goods around the world. It has a lot of vertically integrated businesses and services that it provides to its customers. Quite the company. It's certainly worth looking at, friends. That's it for the show, my good investors and partners. I want to wish you a safe weekend, and I want to wish you wealth and good health. Rob Young, Managing Director, IT. Just a delight and a gentleman to have him as a friend and a partner on our team. Jack Hartle, portfolio manager, producer of the show, always a delight as well. Gentlemen, you stay safe. Have yourselves a great weekend. Friends at home, I'll be back with you next weekend right here on Global News Radio 640 Toronto.
Listening to Hi-Fi Radio with Wolfgang Klein and Jack Hartle, portfolio managers at Canaccord Genuity Wealth Management. For questions about today's show or any money questions you need answered, email Wolf and Jack at wolfgangklein.com. Hi-Fi Radio, for the love of money. We'll see you next week.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
3 nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back. Massive.
Drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.